Good morning, gentlemen. I'm nervous. Well, I'm nervous because I want to do well as a sinful human. I've got pride. And I want to do well because God has given me a lot that I want to convey. So, Almighty God, in the name of Jesus, bring your Holy Spirit in amongst and around us that we may glorify your name and we may learn from these words in Jesus' name. A couple housekeeping background. what I have is out of the Holy Spirit reading in the text NIV Bible. And what I have is also from Swindoll, the first serious study that I've done of Revelation, and this is wonderful. He's great. And then, as I told you the first time I got up here on the first chapter, if you're waiting for a deeper dive, John MacArthur is dense. He's really brings it. But most of what I've got is out of Chuck Swindoll. And in here is a chart. I thrilled to this chart. It's so much wonderful information about what happens to the soul. The Old Testament believers, us right now, those who are martyred in tribulation and those non-believers. He's got a chart. It's a pictorial chart. I've made some copies because it's so valuable to me, and I think maybe a few more of you might like to have it. I put copies back there, and take of it as you will. But I've been confused in the past as to, well, what about those people that lived in Moses' day? What about, during Solomon and later on? So he capitalizes it. It's in here, and I've made copies of it, and so don't be taking it and putting it into a book you're going to write, because that would be violating copyright laws. Don't you do that. So I got a little here a little bit late. Time got away from me, and we're going to talk about that today, how time is going to get away from us. Let's read. I'm reading from NIV, the New Jerusalem. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, sexually immoral, and those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and said to me, come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high, and showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like a jasper, clear and crystal. It had a great high wall, 12 gates, and with 12 angels at the gates. On the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. There were 3 gates on the east, 3 in the north, 3 in the south, and 3 on the west. The wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were written the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The angel who talked to me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city, its gates, and its walls. The city was laid out like a square, as long as it was wide. He measured the city with the rod and found it to be 12,000 stadia in length, and as wide and high as it is long. He measured its walls, and it was 144 cubits thick by man's measurement, which the angel was using. The wall was made of jasper, and the city of pure gold, as pure as glass. The foundations of the city walls were decorated with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth carnelian, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls each gate, made of a single pearl. The great street of the city was of pure gold, like transparent glass. I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Chapter 22, verse 1. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing the 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. The angel said to me, "These words are trustworthy and true." The Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, sent his angel to show his servants the things that must soon take place. Wow. What do you think, guys? Now, to dive into this and open it up, a real quick thumbnail sketch of how we got to this point, because it's important. God begins the tribulation at some point in the future. We don't know that down here. We've gotten to see that it's going on in heaven. But God calls forward Jesus to take the scroll. Only Jesus is qualified, capable, and prepared to take the scroll. And he takes the scroll and he opens the seals. We've studied this. The Antichrist rises, the Antichrist. Not someone in the past, but the Antichrist will rise. He will bring peace. He will bring the gathering of peoples of the world into an entity. The false prophet is there helping the Antichrist to achieve worldwide power. There's the tribulation. Then there's the great tribulation with the bowls, trumpets, all of this, the great tribulation. There is the calling of souls forward, whether it's at the very beginning, if it's in the middle, if it's at the end. There, we can talk about that, but that's somewhere the rapture occurs. Jesus Christ returns. The battle. Satan bound, thrown into the abyss, 1,000 years, and now we have the millennium. Jesus reigns, and yet mankind's nature is not yet changed. Satan is released. We have then the Gog Magog entity with the rebellion and the final battle. Satan is defeated. The great white throne. The lake of fire. That's all now in the past. Here, we're in front of that in time. That's behind us. Evil is gone. We are here with John now. Let's pretend we're right here with John now. And we're seeing, verse 1, a new heaven and new earth. My helpers here inform me new is intended to mean new in a qualitative sense. Intrinsically better. And then it goes on to where this earth, there are no seas. Well, you got to go back to John's day in the ancient Middle East. The seas were inherently dangerous. Yes, you could ply the seas, you could sail over, you could take up business entities, opportunities of trading, and you could become fabulously wealthy in the times of trading and moving on the seas, but it's dangerous. All of a sudden a storm comes up, you get flooded, and you die. No seas means this is fundamentally different and peaceful. No seas is no water and no hydrologic cycle. How are we to understand this? But this is intrinsically better and different than anything you and I can imagine. I can only imagine a movie that's now playing at Rivoli. Some of you have gone to see that movie. I can only imagine, but this is fundamentally better and different. What else? The New Jerusalem in verse 2. He saw the New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven, prepared as a bride. All of us have been married. I think every one of us have been married, and we were at the altar as our bride came walking down. Do you remember what joy that was? This beautiful woman, your life and your world ahead of you. This is the bride of God coming down out of heaven. I want to share with you something I've learned here. This is the third Jerusalem. The first Jerusalem is the one we have today. The city of David, destroyed by the Babylonians, rebuilt. Destroyed by the Romans, rebuilt. That's the first Jerusalem. There is a second Jerusalem where Jesus reigns for 1,000 years. That's the second Jerusalem. This is the third Jerusalem. It comes down out of heaven, not made in any sort of way by human hands. And we've read, and isn't it fabulous to our modern mind? Even to the ancient mind reading this. I can only imagine. Verse 3. Pick up on the word dwelling. This word is tent. Tabernacle. God's dwelling is with men. We know about the tabernacle. We know how God said it should be made, and it was made. And we know that God resided there. He came down, and he resided in the tabernacle. Then later on, Solomon built the temple in Jerusalem. And you can read about how God inhabited that temple. Now, God inhabits this dwelling, this new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. Moving forward. This dwelling is with men. He will live with them. We will be there with God. Let me think. When was the last time we humans were with God? Oh, in the beginning. Remember how Adam was walking and talking in the cool of the evening with God? We're going to be here. We're going to be in the New Jerusalem, walking and talking with God. Verse 4. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Each of us have our story, but for me, as a little boy, when Pop died, that was my grandpa, when Pop died and I didn't understand, but explained to me that he has died and gone to heaven, and I got it, that from that point forward to this point standing before you now, I have been walking through the valley of the shadow of death. And we all do. It's all out there, isn't it? It's ahead of us. No pains. Well, yeah, I had the rotator cuff surgery. The back now seems to be continuously in pain, low level, higher level, lower level. I got a bad knee and I got an even badder knee. I got the pains. Mourning. No pain. In the New Jerusalem. No crying. We will have imperishable bodies, new and intrinsically better. What is this like? I can only imagine. But we're here now. We're here now with John, looking at this, ahead of this. In 5, God is speaking. I am. I tried to say that in a way that caught your attention. I am making everything new. And then God says, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. Okay, God has just expressed to John that we can see, and we're seeing God giving us his character in these words. God is trustworthy and true. We believe. Believing in Jesus and everything else, we are in the book of life. Hallelujah. He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end." Where have we heard it is done? The cross. Tetelestai is what Jesus said. And I got to let Swindoll describe this. It is done. When Jesus said this, here's what Swindoll says. The term carries an absolute... No. Let me pick this up here. This isn't the same word as Jesus used in his statement on the cross. It is finished, tetelestai. That's in John 19:30. That word emphasizes something in the past that has come to an end. In Jesus' case, the suffering and the payment for the sins of the world. And the world, in God's opinion, is now at peace. Now it's up to us individual souls to grasp the good news. When God declares it is done, however, he is pointing forward to a permanent condition that has fully arrived. Moreover, the Holy Spirit led John to use the perfect indicative tense to verify that God's promises are secure. He can express things yet future as completed events with enduring results. These, for this whole chapter, is for me the most important point. These I've grappled with as a Christian brother of yours. I've grappled with, why, God, why? And I'm been brought by the Holy Spirit to understand God has a plan. That plan was put in place before he spoke. And having spoken everything into creation, he's been in charge fully and completely. Nothing is outside of his control. He's not making it up as we go along. He's not winging it. A plan is in place. There are small glimpses of this. Darn it, where did I put it? Oh. There are small glimpses of this in Scripture. And I can't find it. Wait a minute. Yes, I can. You can look in Paul's words in Ephesians, where Paul says, and he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. Later on in Titus, the faithful and knowledge, a faith and knowledge resting in the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time. You and I know time. We know time in our earthly existence. Time is a different thing to God, who was and is and always will be, who moves forward and back and knows what's going on and has plans in place and has what we call providence, the moving of human existence to where we are now with John, looking at our far future. Jesus said, in chapter 17, now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. And later on in John, Father, I want those you have given me where I am to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Little tiny glimpses of God before he spoke. And he has a plan in place. And we've seen this, I think it's elsewhere early in the Bible, but we see in Isaiah where God tells us through Isaiah, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth, it shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. God has a plan in place. He saw us gathering here. And these words are meant to be said. His plan is in place. We are faithful in stepping into it. And here we get to see God say, it is done. evil, all that is evil, is behind us, guys. The great white throne, the lake of fire, is behind us. And we are here with John, looking briefly into this glorious, wondrous future. Okay. Going on. In 7. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. Studying this and very early in studying this to prepare, what came to my mind is Jesus at the well with the Samaritan lady. Remember that? Remember where Jesus, with that cosmically defined moment before this woman, Samaritan, reputed woman. And he has this wonderful conversation, and Jesus says to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. That's what came to my mind as I'm studying this and read these words, that God will give to us who are thirsty to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. Now look at 7. He who overcomes will inherit all of this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But verse 8. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all the liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. Interesting that the first characteristic is the liars. And you'll get to talk about this at your tables. The liars, the very first term. And the unbelievers. And then goes on to characteristics of actions that come out of that continuum. Yikes, how does time go so quickly? We're not going to get to as much as I'd wanted to, but very importantly, we're not going to talk about, and I never intended to talk much about the city, the descriptors, this is jaw-dropping, eyes wide open to us of our human nature. All these jewels, gold is a paving material. Are you kidding? Walking on the streets of gold. I think we will have a very different sense of importance when we're there. These are just atoms arranged in a way that looks attractive. We're with God. We can do anything. We can have, an emerald the size of my fist? Nothing. Down here, I'm in the money. No, this is new and different. And these things recede because what is really valuable? What is really important here? God. God the Holy Spirit. God Jesus. God Almighty. And we're with him in the New Jerusalem. And we're walking and we're talking with him. So marvel at this city. Let's move quickly to verse 22. Quickly! I did not see a temple in the city. We don't need a temple. We don't need a temple that God is separated from us in a special place. And you know this is a very different situation because there is no star, the sun, to radiate its light. We have God's radiance that gives us light. And then there is in 24, an item of something about splendor. The peoples will be, there will be peoples that are outside the temple, outside the New Jerusalem, pardon me, who are bringing in through open gates, bringing in their splendor. I don't know what that is, and neither do these two commentators give much time and effort to explaining that, because I don't think we know. What is splendor? In God's New Jerusalem, what is splendor? Do you mine it? Do you shape it? Do you sing it? We are going to get to find out. Do you notice that the gates are always open? That doesn't might mean much to us, but in John's day and for a long, long, long human history, the city walls protected you from bad things happening. And those gates were closed to prevent robbers from coming in and thieves and raiding parties and armies. No need for that. Remember, we're in a new earth. Evil is separated. There is no... What do we have to fear? There is gone. We're a new creation. There's nothing to have a closed door to. Verse 3, no longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and the Lamb will be in the city, and His servants will serve Him. Some of us will serve Him. Others of us will be out in the doing something with splendor. So that our kings, our leaders, and there does seem to be hierarchy. There seems to be kings of some sort that brings the splendor in to the glory of God. His name, they will see His face. His name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. 6. These words are trustworthy and true. What more needs to be said? Except we get to talk about these things at our tables. Glory be to God.